Well, again tonight, we are looking toward the Lord because we need Him.
Grateful also that He is willing to be here with us tonight. He's a loving Heavenly Father. I also am glad I can say along with that song that I also have found what I needed so long. And I'm also grateful that I can look back over the years now that I have walked in what I found, what the Lord gave me. And the years that I've walked along that path, and I can highly recommend it. You know, there was a time when I just started out that I was thinking that I intended to live this way, and this was where my heart was, and I had given it all to the Lord, willing to go through things for Him, and I didn't know what all that might be. None of us do. And somehow the years, I'd heard others that had went before me, and they could testify of how many years they'd walked with the Lord, and that seemed so far out there in the distance. Years. Well, it didn't take very long. I got saved in 1979. I know that was before a number of you were born. I was talking to some young ones last evening and realized that there's some names that's real prevalent in my mind, memory, that you young ones don't know it all. They were people who got a hold of the Lord themselves and testified to me. They had something that meant something very personally, very really to their heart. And I was a young person then that had my own issues, as many of us do. Trying to find my way. And it seems like a lot of times in our youth we're looking for something solid and not knowing really what we're looking for. A lot of times we're scattered in our mind and are just kind of reaching out for something. And I'd had some things happen in my life that wasn't very pleasant and it was hard to deal with. And I dealt with it badly, reacted to it badly, ended up being pretty rebellious there for a while. But one night, and this is a name that I've come to realize that, sadly, I realize that many of you younger ones don't know, don't remember him at all. Brother Mart Sammons. There was a monarch, and he was preaching to us a message that night about a no-so salvation. Something you can know. That appealed to me because I needed something. Needed something beyond the fake that I had. I wasn't claiming anything, but I hadn't gotten anything out there where I was searching. But I found what I needed. That night, as the message went forth, I can't tell you very much about the message because my mindset that night was not very focused on the message. I was just this confused young man, rebellious and in trouble. But I did get a hold of that. Some people thought Brother Sammons repeated himself. I'm going to tell you what, I needed to hear that repetition that night. Talked about a no-so salvation, something that you know a change happens in your life. I remember how that sunk down in my heart and sparked a ray of hope. And there was a great wrestling there, but the Lord brought me to a place where I was willing to give Him my all. And in that process of giving Him my all, He took that pile of ashes that I really had almost no value, but He saw something that I couldn't see, and I gave it to Him, and He started shaping something different out of it. And I found what I needed. Found Him. I want to tell you he's still real. And I don't know where you are tonight, because we're all human. I can't look into your heart. My ability to see where you are tonight is very limited. But God does. And he's the same one who's loved humanity from all down through. And he went seeking people to seek and to save those that are lost. And if that's where you are tonight, I want you to know we've got something real for you. There's a rock you can build your life on. There's an absolute. I know the world has tried to attack all the senses of absolutes, all the moral absolutes. They've tried to make it malleable and changeable and say, I want to tell you what, there's nothing satisfying in that idea that morals can all change and all kinds. But there is something very satisfying in building your life on the very fact of our Lord Jesus Christ. And something real and something solid that has not changed throughout the years. It's not changeable at the whim of man, nor your whim, but it is solid and you and I can build our lives on. Brother Thomas Short requested prayer a while ago that we pray for the lost. I agree with that, Brother Thomas. Let's pray for the lost and those that we associate with, their souls that Jesus loves. Well, I heard a man recount one of his stories recently. He grew up actually in a different way of thinking. I'm going to try to be careful how I say this, but his religious philosophy was at odds against Christianity, and in so much that his purpose of life was to violently oppose people who would believe like you and I do. Any kind of Judeo-Christian values that are Christian values, that wasn't what he wanted. And he grew up, it doesn't mean he wasn't a religious person. He had his own form. He was very devout within that. But it was wrong. And it was cruel. And he found fulfillment in being violently opposed to people like us. And he was in another country and was headed over here to America to try to proselytize and try to change people. And he had some illegal passports, a number of them on him. And as he was on his way over here, he got arrested and was in jail. And while he was in there, he was praying in his system, because he was devout in that. He said he had personally helped with the hanging of people. This is the type of man he was. And he felt like this was what he was doing to please his deity. And when he was praying and confused, he said there appeared somebody before him. And the appearance, he said, was a white, like he couldn't describe, but it said holy. The whiteness, the what appeared before him spoke of the holiness of God. And in that light, it struck his heart to the core, and he realized he was not holy. And all that he had tried to accomplish in his life, he didn't measure up to this holiness. And he realized that in that holiness, the only just thing to do was to kill the evil of who he was. And he felt shocked and afraid. He fled to the corner of the room, buried his face in his hands. And he said he felt a hand touch him on his shoulder. And he had his head buried in his hands. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "I am Jesus." And the man was changed Because there was something real that confronted him. All this other, the hatred, and he realized that this one who truly had a right to exact justice upon this cruel man and this defiled person, this one came to him intentionally to tell him that there was hope. And that man is today testifying, I'm changed, I'll never go back because I found something real. I want to tell you, it doesn't need to be that dramatic for you. But if it is necessary, the Lord can do that for you. But that same one that was real to him is alive and well today, is here to give you and I a foundation, something we can build our lives on, something we can happily know, we can know in our heart that we are saved. Looking for a songbook up here. I'm not sure we don't have one, I think. Thank you. But not two. 127 talks about the blood. And it addresses sometimes some of our feelings. It says, must I in sinful bondage be? And sometimes in our minds we feel like I'm so captivated to my repeated failings, I'm so entrenched in this cycle of failing. But this song says, must I in sinful, ask the question, must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty, when in the promise I can see that the blood of Jesus addresses that failure. The blood of Jesus has an answer for that need. Must I be doubting, full of fear, gloom obscure my pathway here, be up and down in life's career? No, the blood of Jesus cleanseth. Must I be under guilt and sin and have its blighting force within, beset by wrong, no victory win? The blood of Jesus cleanseth. It's still here today. That fountain still is effective and powerful. That blood still flows for you and I tonight. Must I suppose I'm right today, tomorrow think that I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay. No, the blood of Jesus is more than a match for all of that. Must I by Satan be accused and with his galling yoke abused until at length from heaven refused? No. The answer is no, that doesn't have to be your end. The blood of Jesus is powerful today and is able to address the need of our souls. It's still there, still real, still a rock, still a flowing stream, still something that addresses the need that I don't know how to deal with. Well, I intended to start before now in Luke the 15th chapter. It's a little description here. I see right away that there must have been something about our Lord Jesus Christ who was so compassionate toward people around him. You know, he welcomed everyone into his presence, but it seemed like that the scribes and Pharisees had a difficult time being around him because they always felt, well, I imagine they felt a certain amount of guilt and they didn't like it. So they just didn't want it. They felt light had come into the world, you see, and men love darkness better than light because their deeds were evil, so they had a problem. Then there were some people like this. In the first verse of the 15th chapter of Luke, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. I wonder why. They knew who they were. They didn't have any pretense. They didn't have to say, I'm a scribe, I'm a Pharisee. They didn't have anything like that to uphold. They were who they were. They knew they were sinners. We're troubled people. But some things that he had to say likely began to excite something, the place of hope that they had likely felt trapped in their cycle of life and not knowing how to get out of it. Maybe like the woman at the well. Y'all know her story. She came there. I don't know. There's a lot of things, conjectures we can make about that. But I've thought it was about noonday she came out there to get some water. It may well be that it seemed like that it was typical for people to go to the well, women to go to the well earlier in the day, in the early part of the day to get their water. This woman came alone about midday. I wonder if she was a little bit ashamed to be with everybody else. Maybe she didn't like the looks that she got. Everybody knew who she was. Here she came alone midday. And you think, just picture it in your mind. She came there. Jesus was sitting on the well. Did we see Jesus withdrawing and walking away? No. You see, sinners and publicans came near him, and he loved them, every one. He didn't turn one of them away. And this woman, he didn't turn away either. And as she came, with all her silent contemplation, feeling probably awkward at the moment, and why is this fella here? And he began to say, open up a conversation, give me something to drink. What'd you give me? She said, I'm a Samaritan. Didn't you know that? Yes, he knew that well. But he also knew the need of her soul. Oh, dear ones, Jesus has something. He has a drink of water. He has living water. He's got something that everyone needs. I know that woman, he was asking her for some water. But he said, if you knew who was talking with you, if you knew, you'd ask me. And I'd give you something that you wouldn't need. It would quench your thirst. It would satisfy your soul. And she said, Lord, give me this water. Oh, I wish that the whole world would say that to our Lord. Lord, give me that drink. I'm needing it. Because there's a lot of thirsty people out there today. There's a lot of people that don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know where to build their houses. Their lives need to be built, and they don't know where to start. Because there's been so much broken down in our society. There's been no foundations. And foundations have been questioned and removed. And I want to tell you today, there's still a foundation that you cannot move. It's still there. And all it's built on of this divine, deep love when he looks at souls in trouble and he comes and says, I've got a drink for you. I've got something to satisfy you in your need. And he addressed that woman as only Jesus could. And all by the time he finished talking with her and this excitement that she felt, he uncovered things, proved to her, and he claimed, I am he. I'm that Messiah. He clearly claimed it there, that I am that Messiah, that one you're looking for. That's me. The one you're talking to, I'm that one. And she went back, and these Samaritans, these people who were supposed to be outcasts. And at that moment when she went back and told all those people and they began to come, I could just see the excitement begin to build throughout the streets of that little town, and they began to come out and flow out to where Jesus was. And he said to his disciples, the fields are white. I don't know. I can't prove that for sure, but it sounds like it could easily be Jesus looking at the people coming out and say, the fields. Pray the Lord to send forth laborers into the field because the fields are white. And he was saying that, if he was doing it like that, he was saying that about Samaritans. He loved them, was willing to address their needs. You see, publicans and sinners, people who were in trouble, that was their identity, doesn't say any of their names here. Publicans and sinners came out to hear him. And what kind of message did he have for them? It was one similar to the one that he told the woman at the well. It was one of great hope, one of addressing their personal needs. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, there's two of them here that want to kind of quickly go over. And it's a message or a parable that he... A parable is a story with a meaning. Something that he wanted to get across to them. He wanted them to grasp the idea that sheep can be lost. And though there's plenty of sheep here that maybe you think everybody else cares about these sheep. They're already in the fold. And everybody cares about them. And here I am, I'm a publican and a sinner. And I best I can do is hang over here in the corner of the temple and smite my breast and be sorry for who I am. But Jesus looked at those people and said, the Lord's looking for you. In fact, he's happy to have all those 99. He's happy for that, but he's not satisfied till you come home. He wants you too. Then he talked about the woman who had lost a coin. Again, she had other coins. And liked everyone and was happy to have all that, but that one got lost. I want to tell you tonight, if that's where you are, if you feel like you're kind of lost over there somewhere, the Lord's sweeping the house. He's looking for you. He's over the mountain where lonely I wander, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. And I put my name because that's what the Lord did for me. He came looking for me, and he does that for you. And then he said, another parable starts in the 11th verse. We know about the prodigal son, don't we? We know that parable by the name, prodigal son. And we know, I'll let you read it. There's many striking things here about this parable. The young man had gotten to the place in his life he began to want to flex his way and his desires. I understand that. But he didn't put in his thinking, he didn't factor in the fact that there is protection at Father's house. Then he took what was likely rightly his and he took it and went out. And you know the story, he squandered it. I have down here later on, after all this went on in his life and he came to a place of such desperate want, so such desperate need. Then it says, and you know the story where he was feeding the hogs. I don't want to dwell on that, but he come to a place where he was utterly in need. And beside here in a comment along my margin, it says, insanity of sin. I want to tell you what sinful ways don't make sense. At one point it seemed like it did, but when you run it out to its results, it's not what you want. It's insane. It doesn't make sense to go to that excess. There was a man, and we know the shore of the Gadarenes. You remember that? Remember the man who was in the tombs? That's his living, that's his dwelling, was in the tombs. And what do we find there? We find this man that was completely bereft of normal thinking, normal action, and he was completely made a fool out of by the devil. The devil's hateful like that, you know, ruin lives like that. People tried to, they loved him and tried to help him. They helped him and they tried to bind him. And all today, folks, I know there are things out there that make fools out of people. And it takes, there's substances that people are so addicted to that they can't get away from until it kills them. Knowing that they're dying on the road there, that's insane. That's not right. But oh, there's one that shed his blood to address that power. And this man, known as Legion in the Bible, he was in that horrible shape like that. And all there ought to be hope rise in our hearts tonight when we realize when Jesus came his way and he was able to speak to every need of that man, all the devils, all the things that was controlling his life. He spoke to every power of that, and God, our Savior Jesus Christ, is master of everyone. All he needs to do is speak the word and they must obey. And when he was through with that man, nobody had to bind him anymore to try to help keep him from hurting himself. He was clothed and in his right mind. He was no longer insane. He had something that made him clear and clean again, the right mind. This young man, back to the parable of the young man who, prodigal son, so when he came to himself, he said, I want to stop a little bit at this phrase, came to himself. You know, perhaps you've also had experience where you're traveling somewhere and you weren't really paying good attention and you missed a turn that you needed to take, and you was maybe thinking your mind was somewhere else, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't recognize this road, and I've gotten off. Well, the first thing you have to do is to come to yourself and admit somewhere I went wrong. That's the first step. And that's tonight. Sometimes the Lord wants to get us to the place where I'm just saying, I was wrong. Come to ourself. Come to the place of admission. You know, for a while I thought this was right. I really wasn't paying attention. But now I recognize that somewhere I'm not on the right road. Is it okay to recognize? It is. It's proper for us to recognize. If we've taken the wrong road, the best thing to do is say, I have taken the wrong road. Recognize it and then say, I was wrong. And turn around. Sometimes we need to identify where we are. I've done this before. Taken a wrong turn and got off in an area not knowing where I was. First thing I needed to admit, recognize that I'm not in the right place. And then get to looking. You ever look on your phone and say, what's the best route back to that place I need to be? Well, the Lord he's got a shortcut. He's got a way across from where you are tonight to the cross. And how quickly you can get on the right path. You can know you're saved tonight. You can know the love of God. You can feel the hand of God directing all of our steps here tonight. The answer is in that blood. It's in what God has provided for you and I on Calvary through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He came to Himself. And He said, how many hired servants of our fathers have bread enough to spare, and I'm sitting here hungry. I perish with hunger. Sometimes we just need to come to that place. I admit it hadn't worked. All that I thought that I was going to try to get accomplished, all the fun I was hoping to have, they told me you only live once, and I ran hard to get what I thought I wanted. And it wasn't what I wanted. Where do I go now? Again stands the cross. Again stands the hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to turn for just a little bit quickly over here into Proverbs, the first chapter of Proverbs. And talking about wisdom and the great, wonderful blessing that wisdom is, it's described in here and characterized as she crieth, wisdom, she crieth in the chief places. That's the 21st verse now, in the first chapter of Proverbs, 21st verse. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long ye simple ones? How long will you continue pressing against your better judgment? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. It's amazing today to see people trying to think they can go down the same path others have failed on and say they're going to do it better, they're going to make a success out of it. It won't be so. It won't work. Turn you, 23rd verse, turn you at my reproof. Listen to the voice, that sweet voice of wisdom that says, it's not working. Turn now. Make a U-turn. You got off on the wrong path. You need to come to yourself. You need to come to your senses. Acknowledge where you are. Turn now at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Oh, what a blessing it is to know, to hear somebody say, if you'll just turn, I've got the answer. I'll pour out my spirit. Oh, what an offering of God Himself to you and I in our time of need. I pour out my spirit, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of love, the spirit of God Himself that He wants to bequeath, to pour out to you and I to address our needs where we are here tonight. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Oh, thank the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Oh, part of this rest, it's hard for me to think about reading because I have called and you refused. You don't have to refuse. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I came and spoke gently to your ears. I tried to show you all the reasons why you shouldn't keep going that way. I appealed gently and softly and told you. Sometimes the Lord speaks loudly even to us and tells us, turn now, turn. And He says, if you'll just turn, I've got all this blessing over here. Their father's house, there's plenty to eat. There's protection. There's hope. There's family back there. And I know perhaps after a while when you get out there in the devil's territory, it leaves so much shame and regret in our hearts that we feel like there's no way back from there. But I want to tell you tonight, if the Lord's dealing with our hearts and we come to ourselves, there is a way home. There is a way home. We can get up from where we are and say, I remember Father's house. There's a place I can go. And I know you... And you'll feel crushed and feel like I'm not deserving to go back home. There's no reason for Him to accept me. Except, I want to tell you, you'll be accepted because of the blood. Because of the blood. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave for you and for me. This is a sad commentary here in this part of this chapter. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also, oh no, don't want to ever get to this place. I will also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear comes. That's not what, don't go to this place, folks. Don't ever go to this place. Don't get to this place in your heart we've rejected to the point that the Lord says you can go ahead, and when you get in that kind of trouble, I won't hear you. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall seek me, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, that's the reason why they got themselves in such a place. They would not receive knowledge. They wouldn't receive the appeal of the Lord. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. It's not what God intended. It's not what He wanted for you. But if you make that recipe, you're going to eat that cake. That's what will happen. It's the results of it. And it can't be amended if we persist in that way. But I shouldn't say it completely like it can't be amended. It can't normally be amended. There is a path. There is one that leads to the cross where salvation happens, where a new creature happens, where hope is reborn, where purpose of life, where the rock Christ Jesus is found. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away, the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Then there's another verse here that says, but, starts out with a but. That all sounds bad, and it's hard for me to even think about when I'm reading that to us. There's a solemn gripping to these verses and the consequences of this action. But then here the last, but whosoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. This is a blessing that has reached out to you and I today. Father's house, the door's still open. The light's on. And the Father has walked out and looking down the road, waiting for your limping steps. And He hungers to wrap His arms around you and say, my son has come home. That's where you are tonight. I want you to know the Father, arise, He calleth thee. The Lord loves. May the Lord bless you tonight. My prayer.